Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast. It is Wednesday, an off day for the Avalanche, as they probably have a couple of those, more than a couple in their future, given that they're moving on to round two and their potential opponent series is tied 2-2. So we figured we'd take a little bit of time, dig a little bit deeper into the Avs win over the Jets, have some conversations about Jared Bednar, have some conversations about what the Avs did well, what the Avs didn't do well, what they can improve. Things like that going into this, what are we figuring? 5-6 day break at least.
Oh yeah,
and if that series goes seven, it could be more than that. So,
and it's great.
Let's start there, Eric. I know you've talked about this before, but rest is objectively better than rust.
It is, because you always want one of them to be, especially early, like a short series. You did it. Your skit last night, gentlemen. Sweep was perfect. You had the opportunity to do it. You finished it. It's when you have opportunities.
Emphatically.
Yeah. And it's when you have opportunities to do it and you don't do it, that's when shit happens. It just does.
Boston last year. Boston maybe this year.
But not only on wins and losses, but on injuries and, you know, fatigue. And if you're every round in the seven game series, then it is what it is. That's where you're in it, right? You're in one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a chance to take a little bit of a break and a mental reset and go play a little bit of golf, it's a little windy out there today, but, you know, tomorrow go play golf. It does make up.
They can hit the golf simulator.
I remember but I remember Patty Waugh, like, and Ray and those guys, like, you know, like, always went to play golf because you just cleared their minds, you know, get outside, get some fresh air, a little different than tying your skates up and, you know, doing stuff and, you know, being at the rink, just different.
Going to work,
different environment. It's like anybody else, right? And it's so grueling in the playoffs. So when you have the opportunity to put the nail in the coffin, like they did last night, awesome. Rangers did it. Panthers did it. Carolina did it.
Colorado. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when, again, Boston didn't do it. Didn't do it last year. And you're right. You know,
it came back to haunt them.
I mean,
a team wins that fifth game. Now it's 3-2. We so frequently will just wave it away and be like, oh, well, they still got two more shots at it. Okay, but hockey's weird.
The pressure's ultimately just on you. And then the other guys, they just lived it. Their backs are against the wall anyway. Yeah. So they're playing the same game. It's like, And now if you lose that one, whoa, boy.
You better have
the kidneys able to freaking handle it. Like, 0-1 Avs.
Yeah.
3-1 against LA.
Almost blew it, but didn't.
3-2, 3-3, and then play a solid game seven, right?
I don't 4-1 know about solid, but they did win.
Well, whatever. I mean, they played pretty. I mean, they scored on power play. They won that 4-1.
A win is a win.
They, you know, it's just like you better be able to have the capacity to handle that, you know? So
I think the Boston one is interesting.
Yeah.
Because obviously, what happened last year?
Last year,
It haunts you.
And so now you're in this position, but you're going back to Toronto for Game Six, and then if they get to Game Seven, the Maple Leafs, like, everybody's expecting the worst for the Maple Leafs. It's who they are.
Yep.
That is not the case for the Bruins.
I agree.
And so you start to wonder, you start to like that pressure ratchets up a lot. And we talked about this with Colorado Winnipeg, where Winnipeg was the higher seed. They came in as, I would say, still the underdog, just reputationally.
Yeah.
But the deeper that series is, yeah, as we got into it, when you have the 1-0 lead, then you're down 2-1, and you're like, oh, man, we need this one. We need game four. That pressure got so high on them. You were game four, third period, they penalty their way to an embarrassing loss.
Yep.
And they never recover. They never recovered in series from the end of game three and game four, going into game four and game five.
I agree.
They didn't handle the pressure. It chewed them up and spit them out.
And that's what playoff hockey is.
Yep.
It is.
It separates them so quickly.
It is. And it's being able, not only within a game, but within plays. Like, yeah, it's twice yesterday, right? Push back, boom. But when you lose a game, it's tough to get it back because now you have 24, 48 hours. You were the loser you were the winner. You can't switch the momentum within one or two plays, you know what I mean, during the game. So it's like, so the pressure just shifts on you. Just read all the media today. It's all about like, oh, the Leafs are the greatest thing in the world now. Well, and then, you know.
Go ahead.
No, and then Boston is what we're talking about, mm-hmm, right? Oh, last year, you know, and then all of a sudden everything shifts, you know, one game.
In the same way that the Jets had, they faced the same situation this year that they did last year. They couldn't exercise the demons. The demons only grew.
Yep. That's it. And they didn't have the right opponent. right? Let's be honest. Yeah.
Yikes. I know nobody is watching the Vancouver-Nashville series because, God, why would you?
That feels like a cruel and unusual punishment.
But for the psychopaths like me who have tuned into it, Vancouver up 3-1, blows a game. They don't have Thatcher Demko in that. Oh,
and you also,
going back
they,
to Nashville.
They should
have closed
they
out.
They should only have two wins in the series.
Because they should have lost
that comeback.
And so you're like, stole one of those games. Yeah. But now they're going back to Nashville. It's game six.
Yep.
Where you at with it? And you know that market is insane. It's not Toronto or Montreal. Like but
they get hype out there.
It's still a crazy market where they ride the roller coaster hard.
And where's Nashville been the last 3 months?
Chilling.
Playoff hockey. I mean, they're freaking, they were dead in the water.
Yeah.
Right? And
they've been playing with house money for the second half of the season. They're just having
their
time.
They're used to it right now, where in all Vancouver, you know what I mean? Like, the pressure's going
to starting to tie. Vancouver also had to spend all year being told by everybody, every asshole like me, you're not for real.
Yeah.
And then they get a hot Nashville team coming in.
Yeah.
Is Arthur
going back into game six
really going to give you another win in this series?
Like that's one where you're like, you can see how tight the Canucks are.
Yeah. Oh,
buddy. It's tough.
Just saying. Avs are the ones that closed it out in that.
Thank God. Otherwise, we'd be talking about. They'd be coming back to Denver. We'd be like,
be a really different pod.
Well, it would be like that sucked last night, but you know they're coming back to Denver. This is the best home team in the NHL. You win the first. You split in Winnipeg to take control of home ice advantage. You keep it.
Yeah.
This is why you keep it, and blah blah. Yeah. Like we would, there would be still plenty of positives to take. Some of these other teams are in some tough spots right now.
They are. And I do not envy any of them. You brought up home ice.
Win your games, guys.
It's not that hard, obviously. Yeah. Just win.
Winning in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Just win. Jeez, dude.
That's it.
I don't want to make us pick Vegas or Dallas, what opponent the Avs want, because I think we're all in agreement. We don't really care who they get.
If you go and listen to the PDO cast that I did this morning with Dmitry Filipovich, he asks me this question, and you will hear my brain snap in half as I kind of walk through each of them and then come to the ultimate conclusion of, they're both really good teams, man. Like, I don't think there's a better opponent.
But what I will say, not asking you guys to pick, if it does end up being Vegas, the Avs have home ice in round two.
True.
Does that matter at all to you?
Didn't matter. I'm going to use that stupid answer, but I believe in it. I don't think home ice makes a big difference until a game seven, because I truly believe.
Do you want to fight right now?
No, that's what I'm saying. But I know people don't like that argument, but I do.
He probably does.
No, I don't want to fight. I love you. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to get my ass kicked. But I'm just saying, I think it makes a difference on a game seven. I think it does.
Yeah.
Because of the matchups, because of the hype, and because of that, you know. And then, again, you have more pressure. Visiting team, to me, has less pressure because it's, you know, you're on the road and you're just trying to be the villain and, you know, go do your job. And
This is kind of why I have enjoyed them being on the road to start in Winnipeg was, all right, they won game one. Mm-hmm. But they win game two. And ultimately, you're like, yeah, we split. And we're the best home team in the NHL coming back. Now the pressure's on them. I think it flips so quickly because if you lose that home game, if you have home ice advantage and you lose one of game one or two, you chase the series the entire time.
Yeah.
Because it's, we had it and we lost it. We had it and we lost it. Now we're trying to get it back. We're trying to get it back. And I almost wonder if this was liberating for this Avalanche team to be in Winnipeg. I mean, that part had to suck. But to win game two, to split the first two. And then after that, the Jets were chasing and the Avs were like, yeah, come get us.
But I mean, I heard that today too somewhere. I don't remember where. They're saying like, oh, the Avs, best home team in the league. Hey, last I checked, they got 2 wins at home, 2 wins on the road in the playoffs.
Right.
All right. I'm just saying, right?
You're right.
Everybody's talking about, oh, the Avs were good at home. Regular season is freaking over. Like, it's playoffs. Yeah. It goes for wins and losses on the road. It's for anything. I do believe, though, as a team, they grew in the playoffs because of the middle stats of the world. Like, guys like that have never been there. They learned how to close out a game last night, right? Yeah. You can't say it's new to you anymore. You know, I'm using middle stat because I know for a fact, like, you've never been in playoffs. And I don't even know about Duhame or
Duhame had
Trenton.
Trent Nashville.
Yeah, he played against the Avs.
Like, yeah.
You know, he was great. Really good in that series.
Exactly. Too. You know, I'm just saying. But it's for some guys, it's like.
Game two.
Yep.
You know, Woody. I don't know. I don't think he did in Jersey. And
yeah, he was scratched.
He was healthy scratched last year.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you're growing as a player. You're learning how to close out team, put teams behind you on the road. So, you know.
I think this is a meaningful thing, though, is because the Duhame and Trenton experiences, they were on the back foot in their series.
Yeah. Yep.
They were not a team with expectations.
They're not closing stuff out.
They were not a team that had guys in their locker room, a lot of guys in that locker room who'd walk the walk. They were not playing for organizations that held themselves to a championship caliber standard. They were playing for organizations hoping to find it. And now they're in Denver playing for a team that won a Stanley Cup 2 years ago, where they're like, we're about that life. There's a certain way to go about it. And how you respond to it says a lot about who you are as a player. I don't think Duhame's responded to it very well. I don't think it's been bad.
No. Certainly not the way Trenton has.
Well, and because you look at how Trenton and Mittelstadt, their games have elevated.
Yep.
That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the guys who relish the prospect of walking through that fire. That's how you climb that mountain.
Yep. How's the minutes for Duhame and PK? I didn't even look.
Very low for Duhame. Low. Yeah.
And that's why it's like PK, what it does, if you're not playing a lot, it gives you that minute or two here.
Get your legs out a little bit.
It makes a big difference. Gets your heart going. So if you're not getting out there, it's like Cogs is getting a lot of those minutes, right? Where Duhame was getting more in the regular season at the end. Remember, he was really good in PK. So
he was really good.
I think you have to find a way to, you know, again, it's early. It's the first round. You're hoping it's 4 rounds.
Sure.
He's going to be needed at some point on the PK at some times in a game. But I think that's what's, if he could just get a couple more minutes, you know.
Yeah.
It just gets you going a little more.
Well, the only way that you would start having a conversation either about bringing Brandon Duhame out of a lineup is if Gabe Landeskog got healthy.
Yeah.
Or Jonathan Drouin at the end of the second round. Those are the only ones.
Yeah. Second.
So like Duhame can work his way through some of that and be like, okay, reset round two, let's go. And I think also he's going to have a chance. He's going to have to be better.
Yeah.
Because the fourth line is going to have to take serious matchups against Dallas or
like Vegas.
Vegas.
And
exactly.
When you're kind of looking at that hierarchy right now, number one guy out of the lineup is going to be Kovalenko. That's just the reality of whether it's Kiviranta coming back.
As soon as Kiviranta's healthy.
And then
Kovey's out.
Probably Duhame next.
Yeah, if you get both Drouin and Landeskog.
Well, I'm saying if you get Kiviranta healthy and you get Drouin at the end of the series, who's coming out of the lineup?
I mean, my default would be Kivi, because, but I want to see how he continues to play.
If he plays like he did those first three games, of course, he's not coming out. I'm telling you.
Obviously. Yeah, right? Like, he was aces.
He does have to keep that up. It's a fair point.
Because you did see in the last two games, both Ross Colton and Miles Wood, their level dropped a little bit. Mm-hmm. Kivi Ranta, we get to, it's all flowers. It's all good feels.
He didn't have the drop.
He didn't experience the drop. But how much of...
Could it become the adult? Like, yeah.
That's the scary part about it.
Yeah. I never saw that coming. I'm the one that's been bashing him all year. I'll have to admit.
I don't think he's been too well liked on this entire set.
Yeah. I just thought it was blah.
Yeah. I mean, like, how do you do? You know,
It felt like he was keeping himself in the lineup because most of the regular season, the Avs' fourth line was just kind of bad.
Yeah.
And there was always like one guy that was hurt here, there, you know.
Yeah. I didn't see it coming. I have to admit. So he's been great. I can only give him flowers, but he's been great when he's been in.
Right. Yep. Obviously, and as soon as he comes in, he has to play his way out of the lineup at that point because he was so good those first three games.
We talk about gaining trust, but he gained trust, right? You're in a hostile environment. He plays great, you know, with those guys.
He's gaining plenty of trust. He makes one play like Kovalenko did in the third period of last game, and that trust is gone.
Yeah, but that's the reality.
No, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I know what you're saying. Yeah. But that's life in the NHL as a fourth liner. It's just the way it is.
Also, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you're trying to chase down a Stanley Cup. Like, you're not messing with, he's a young guy, you know, just keep feeding him minutes. No. You need guys that you trust. And right now, unfortunately, Nikolai Kovalenko's not there.
Yep. And you talk about high-end talent. Let's say compare, Mikko and Scheifele. You know, one can do it. The other one sounds like it doesn't. You can't do it. Right? I'm just saying. But it's the same thing for a fourth liner. You know what I mean? There's guys that can do it, and there's guys that can't. Yes, it's a smaller slice of the pie. You know what I mean? It's really – but if it doesn't work – that pie is shitty. You know what I mean? Like, even though it's only a
delicious
little piece of, you know.
I know. And to be fair to Kovalenko, you're throwing him into a playoff game without a recipe and saying, go bake a pie.
But I agree.
Them closing out last night means that Kovalenko's going to get a week of practice. Yeah. Or he's going to get three or four practices.
Systems work.
It will help him so much to just not, because you could see last night.
He was lost.
He was lost. I mean, he's running into guys and he's just taking up space.
You can't think in the league. It's too fast. You can't think.
It's going to help him. Yeah. So if he is in game one of the next series,
I still like him.
There's no way any of us are drawing any kind of conclusion about what kind of NHL career he will have because of this situation. It was very unfortunate. The Avs were excited. He was supposed to play the last 10, 12 games of the season, however many it was going to be. Yep. That knee injury in the final 2 minutes of his last KHL game really sent this sideways.
Yep.
But Kivi Ranta stepping up, that's what you need. You need guys that can meet the moment they're in. And when you look at last night's game, there was a team that understood that moment. Yeah. And there was a team that could not handle it.
And I just want to touch on, because we were talking, Joey's asking there about how long is too long in the playoffs. But I wanted to talk about that earlier. I totally forgot.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm saying like rest is important over, you know, what do you say? Rest over?
Rust.
Rust. Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. Sometimes after a certain amount of period of time, like a week, it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, you want to get back in it.
Yeah.
And I know Bednar, not me, Bednar always talks about, i.e., game 82 of the season, played everyone because guys don't like to be inactive for so long.
Sure was Drew and it's sat.
Yeah.
Now you're looking back like, God damn it. I'm not blaming anything. I'm just saying, but answering the question is,
as
a group, if they get a week off, here's what I would say. I would expect, but I'll take it. Because the Avs play those top-end guys a lot of minutes, and they're so valuable, so the rest is very important. It will benefit down the stretch in that round. But I would expect the first 10 minutes of that first game to be some rust, and that's where goaltending becomes huge. You know what I mean? Because you need your goaltender to make saves there. You know, forget about it. I'm not talking about Georgiev. I'm talking about any team. Mm. So you're going to be rusty as just life, right? I always tell you guys back-to-back, you want to be the guy on the back-to-back. Like, you want to be the team that played the night before. Because if it goes your way early in the game, you're so much more into it than those guys that had 3-4 days off. It makes a big difference. Then you take a lead. Now, if you fall behind and you're down by 2 or 3, you're toasted because, you know, you're going to get, like, your legs are going to be gone, right?
You remember a couple years ago Vegas comes into Colorado, game one of that series. Vegas had played a game seven 2 days before.
Bopped in game one.
The Avs were just chilling, and the Avs won that game like 7-1, 7-0. Like, they blew their doors off, and everybody was like, oh, this series is going to be a walk. Yeah. Oh, my God, are they gonna sweep the first two rounds?
No, that's why I think the first 10 minutes are... You're going to see some rush execution not there. Like, it's just always like that, right? Because it's like,
yeah.
And then once you're in it, you get hit, take a hit, then you're back in it. You're like, okay, you know, like, I'm in.
You know, you do like, look at the game one against Winnipeg. They had all those days off.
Yeah. There you go. Yep.
We can look at the numbers all day and be like, hey, they weren't actually that bad. But you do look at the mistakes they did make were big.
Yep. Sure.
That's and what you, I'm saying. You absolutely had a rusty goaltender. I'll call him a rusty goaltender now because. Well. What he did after that.
He figured was like, it out for sure.
Yeah. There were five games. Yeah. There was one major anomaly.
Yep.
So you can't look at the game one and say that's the real Georgiev.
Well, yeah. When you're looking at any bright future, make sure you do it with your Shady Rays on. You can get ready for round two with quality shades built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades that won't break the bank. Shady Rays is an independent sunglass company that has been rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. They have hundreds of options to choose from. Of course, they've been with us before. We all love their stuff. Great sunglasses all the way around. You can find something great for you. Go get yourself some Shady Rays today. Even if you don't love the shades, they have a 30-day worry-free return policy. If you don't like them, you break them, or you lose them, let them know. They'll replace them in the first 30 days.
Are the ones on that ad the ones that you have?
I think I have they're the blue tinted, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah, the Kenny Power sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly.
My man.
go get yourself some Shady Rays exclusively for our listeners. Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Head to ShadyRays.com. Use code DNVR to get 35% off their polarized sunglasses. And again, rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Go try them for yourself with that DNVR code. Once you've got your Shady Rays on, make sure you're taking the playoff plunge with Circa Resorts and Casinos.
Wish we could do that in this hot-ass room right now.
No kidding. A jump into stadium swim would be primo.
I don't think they would want to see us do the show from swimsuits.
Probably not.
But
probably not.
It'd be fun to do it from the pool while fully clothed.
I don't know. Where's my man James? He pays a lot of money to see me with a swimsuit on, probably. go book your stay with Circa at circasports.com. Use code DNVR20 to get 20% off your stay. You get stadium swim with their beautiful pools and a 90-foot television. You get a 3-story sports book where you can watch all the sporting playoffs in the world. You get tons of different options when it comes to Circa. Whether the Avs play Vegas in round two, or maybe you're going to the NHL draft at the Sphere. Anytime you go to Vegas, Circa is the place to stay. They're an adults-only casino. They check IDs so you don't have to deal with all the little kids running around. They have over 7,000 square feet of casino space. It's just an awesome place all the way around to stay with Circa. So again, use that DNVR20 code and book your stay at circasports.com. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We got a little bit more information after our podcast ended the other day. Jared Bednar talked about Jonathan Drouin, gave us a timeline of about 4 weeks for expected recovery. Tomorrow would be exactly 2 weeks from game 82. If the Avs get lucky, Dallas Vegas goes 7.
Yeah.
You're maybe looking at the start of that series around 3 weeks out from Jonathan Drouin's injury.
Just shy of it, yeah.
Yeah, the day before or whatever.
But. So you're realistically talking about game six.
Yeah,
game six is probably.
If everything goes perfect, maybe you get him for like game four.
Yeah, I mean, if things move faster than
you. Right, but realistically, probably not going to have very much impact on this second round series. Excuse me. My question, though, as someone put up a ways in the chat, in a world where things go the Avs way, they get Jonathan Drouin back.
In a world.
Where do you put him in the top six? Because obviously your top six has been nothing short of nails. And the obvious answer is that Parise Duhame, whatever spot as the sixth guy.
That's the answer.
So you don't worry about putting him with someone like Mittelstadt, despite them being two passy types?
Nope. Okay. All good. For right now, I'm good with it. You know, Val Nichushkin scoring goals like that, you know. When in this hypothetical, we're 4 or 5 games into that series, so we will have 4 or 5 games more information on how these guys are working
point.
And what the matchups are dictating. So it's hard to say right now because at any point, you could always decide to swap Lehkonen and Nichushkin if something's not working, or you could put Parise back up on the top line and put Nichushkin and Lehkonen back there. You know, there's lots of different things that they could decide to do depending on how it's going. They didn't have to do shit this series.
Yeah, just let it ride.
After starting in game two, when they swapped Nichushkin and Parise, they were just done.
Yep.
That was it. Everybody. Adjustments over. Thanks, Rick Bonus.
Everyone was cooking. I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to be like teenager,
for real.
But it was still, you look at Zach Parise. Zach Parise played on that second line, played well. There were good moments. There was this, there was that. And he had 2 goals.
Yep.
One of which came when he was on the ice with the fourth line.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just fine.
So, to me, he was the most replaceable. He's for sure. Still the most replaceable guy in that line.
To be honest, not even that close.
Yeah, and then you have to find a home for him somewhere in your lineup, and that's what those several games of information will give you.
Yep.
All right. Is Kiviranta playing up to that level? Is Kovalenko improving at a rate fast enough?
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, because if Kovalenko comes out with his hair on fire and that third line goes back to crashing and banging and you're scoring just goals. Just get out of the way. You just let success be success. If that's, you know, it seems unlikely that's going to be the case.
Yep.
So, you know, you just move guys around as needed. And Jonathan Drouin was so good at the end of the year. I would just start him back where he was.
Sounds good to
me. You know, and if you want to put him next to McKinnon because they have had that magic together, cool. Also cool with me. He had turned himself into such a quality two-way player by the end of the season.
It's true.
I'm good with it. Now, similarly, he hadn't played in 4 weeks, and he's coming into the Stanley Cup playoffs at the end of a series.
You got to skate. You got to practice. You know,
getting him into a game, you might put him on that third line to start and just see how he's responding to it.
Yep.
If he's got that jump right away, put him in your top six. If he doesn't have that jump, then he works his way back in a more shelter bottom a six kind bit, of role. Yeah.
And then usually, like I tell you guys, I mean, it sounds stupid, but it's real. When you're in that spot, let's say in that third line spot, you're playing against 5th, 6th, D's usually, right? You know, give and take. It makes a big freaking difference. You know what I mean? You're not getting a top pair. You're not, you know. So it gives you the chance to just kind of feel the puck more and have a little bit more room or, you know. There's a big difference between a top pair and a third pair in the NHL. I don't care what team it is. There's a big difference.
Look at Colorado. The difference between Devon Taves and Cale Makar and Jack Johnson and Sean Walker.
It is huge.
Yeah.
If you're a guy trying to work your way back into injury, which pairing do you want to see on the ice?
Not complicated.
Do you want to see Hedman or you want to see whatever they have on the third pair now?
Those guys that I've never heard of?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
I was shocked at how many defensemen Tampa Bay rolled out.
Some random dudes down there.
I'm like, you made this guy up. Yeah. Don't tell me this is
NHL
a guy.
NHL be a player guy.
Seriously, this. This is the be a pro career mode. Like, that's all this is. We're in that be a pro's first season here. This is ridiculous.
And he's going to need to get some practice in, right? You know, it sounds like he has a skate because it's a skate. I mean,
it's a cut on his skate and he can't put the gear on because he might infect it.
That's my point. So he can't skate.
You can't do anything. He's just wandering around hanging out with
Landy. Shoulder, bad wrist. You can skate. You can, you know what I mean? Yeah. When you can't skate, it's tough. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Honestly, we didn't talk about it a lot because none of these guys were ever going to be available for the series. We knew that walking into it. But boy, did it still feel interesting thinking about they just blew the doors off Winnipeg 4-1. And in the press box is Logan O'Connor, Jonathan Drouin, and Gabe Landeskog. We were just like, well, we won't get to see it because we know LOC is done for sure for the season. But oh my God, if you could have just... Why? I just want to see what this team could have looked like. It could have been so good.
Yep, could have been. But they're still pretty good as is. Oh, yeah. The forward core, pretty straightforward. I don't think you're asking for a lot of tweaks in that besides guys getting healthy. The defense, you're not asking for anyone to come into the lineup. I think that's pretty clear.
I mean, Sam Malinsky's hanging around.
Sure, but we're living in reality. You're not putting Sam Malinsky in for Jack Johnson.
No.
Fine.
However, is there anything the Avs can do to clean up their defensive game? Josh Manson rode a roller coaster that entire series. Kel McCarr, really not very good defensively.
The funny thing about Josh Manson, you go and you start digging into this, he finishes with 5 points.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, one of those is an empty net goal with 2 seconds left in the series. It did not matter.
Yeah.
But Josh Manson did a prolific amount of creating scoring chances on offense.
Yep.
And the eyes will tell you there were problems on defense. There were.
Mm-hmm. Possession-wise, he was great, though.
Per usual, Josh Manson prone to the big mistake, not a litany of mistakes.
Yep.
I like to call this Jake Gardner syndrome.
That's fair.
But poor Jake Gardner's just outliving his life, getting sideswiped by me on a podcast.
Oh, don't turn over series losing pucks.
Yeah. What a reputation. But Josh Manson, I thought, I walked out of that series thinking he's their third best defenseman right now. Right now, in this moment.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I think Devon Toews got way better as the series went on.
I think the same is true of Sean Walker. Not to the level of Toews, but he built into that series.
Yeah, I really liked his game a lot. There were a lot of little things that I think he contributes. But it's also clear that the coaching staff just doesn't trust him.
Yeah.
16.
Pretty hard lockdown.
16
there,
to 18 minutes is kind of where he's at right now. He's got to stop taking penalties.
That's true.
He's got to stop taking penalties. It's been an issue for him since he got here. But and with Gerard, we just have the extremes. His first game was
pretty small phenomenal sample size for that guy right
his
now.
His third
right?
game was bad. Yeah. And then in between, he was fine. Yep. And so you're like, okay, well, you've got three games. You've got three very different results. But with Josh Manson, I thought Josh Manson was really, really, really good. Yep. For most of the series, it was just, oh, my God, the mistakes
except
that he made
he
were bad.
Heinously bad, yeah.
The mistakes were real bad. And, hey, playoff series can turn on those kinds of mistakes. So the fact that the Avs had as much of a gap between themselves and the Jets in the series meant that
you get away
they
with
weren't
some of that
exactly.
Stuff,
yeah. They weren't backbreaking, but yeah. you know what you're getting. But I really was impressed a lot more, funny enough, the offense from Josh Manson in that series.
It was good.
I mean, the goalie scored was sick.
Well,
the hands that he displayed was unreal.
A breakaway goal coming out of the box.
Yeah, well, you're right. Like, come on, you have a D, Josh Manson,
girl,
of all people coming out of the box. Like, come on, really?
Yeah.
Why? You're like pounding your fist, like, God, bad luck. And then he puts that move, you're like, what? What was that?
You're like, all right, man, thanks.
Maybe you should go in a shootout next year.
You know? Yeah, right? Be your sixth or seventh shooter.
Is the real listener, Josh Manson, needs to take more penalties? Bring himself in the box more.
Exactly. No, I just defensively, I think you're fine. I'm just not. I don't have anything to say about Jack Johnson. It is what it is.
Right. Exactly.
Not that I thought he was bad in that series. No, it's just that
he has his limitations as a player. That's
every single time a guy with any kind of speed at all was on the ice with him,
he's losing the race. Every
you're
time.
Watching Jack Johnson. Just you can see. Above his head, the thought bubble go from dot, dot, dot to exclamation point to expletives.
Yep.
Because he's just in trouble.
Yep.
It happens so fast for him and he's fine. Like he was fine. I don't have, this is not me saying they need to replace him in the lineup. That's my personal preference. But his play was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine.
It was fine.
So,
and the rest of it was, you know, Kale McCarr defensively was not very good in that series, but offensively was dynamite.
Maybe the best player on the Avs offensively.
Right. Dynamite offensively. And, you know, you will live with a little bit of that when the offense is that good.
Yep.
You know, this is not Tyson Berry. where the offense is good, but
gives it all away on the other end.
Exactly, where you're like, this is, you kind of end up in the middle here. But with Kyle McCarr, the offense is like, hey, man, this guy finished with 9 points.
It's another planet.
Yeah. Finished with 9 points. Come on. Come on.
Come on.
Okay. Fair enough. So, no, you wouldn't mess with it at all any more than Jared Bednar does on any given night when he mixes his pairings.
All good.
No, there isn't really much to do there. Now, if there's an injury,
Caleb Jones or Sam Malinsky?
It's Caleb Jones, and then I think it's probably Brad Hunt, depending on who the injury is to. Brad Hunt's just going to be trusted. Like, let's be honest. He's the veteran guy. He's comfortable stepping in after not playing for a long period of time. That's been his whole NHL career. He's just going to be in that spot over Sam Malinsky. But
depends who.
Yeah.
We'll see. And here's my one concern there. The little bit we did see of Caleb Jones and Jack Johnson together,
I didn't like it.
Was not good in this series.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to play them together.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where maybe it isn't Caleb Jones as the seven. Maybe it's Brad Hunt or whoever else down the lineup. I think it almost certainly is Brad Hunt, but maybe there's a world where it's Sam Malinsky or something.
Maybe.
He at least had, 40 games this year. So he would be aware of the systems.
Yep.
From what I saw, he was pretty solid with the Eagles in their three games.
Helped force the third game with a
late
goal. I guess it was a third game OT that they lost. But
yeah. He had the game tying goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that it matters all that much when you're talking about actual personnel deployment. The Avs have their list of guys and are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
What I am curious about, and I want to go to Eric to this because you've been the guy who's worked in a front office. Dallas Vegas is sitting at 2-2. How much specific prep are the Avs actually doing right now when they don't know their opponent yet?
We were talking last night. I think you went downstairs, AJ, and I were talking like, so Brett and those guys, let's say it goes seven and you don't know, it might just be 24 hours. Then you're, you're on the road in Dallas, or you're at home against Vegas so they'll start doing the work as a coaching staff. 100% they've started. Again, nowadays it's so much easier. You can just pull all the
videos all online.
Everything's
for you.
Done. Yeah.
And, if I can stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning pulling video of the opposing team.
Exactly.
So those guys got it.
Those guys and Prater's in charge of the PK and Ray's in charge of the PK. So they're working on their stuff. You're down. I mean, it's not 32 opponents, it's two opponents.
Yeah.
And then they're watching those games closely tonight. Might get together as a coaching staff and, do a little cookout, watch the game and obviously
that sounds fun.
Well, yeah, 100%. That's what they're doing. And, and then you just kind of do some prep work, not to the extent of everything, but you get everything ready when, and maybe there's a lot of similarities between, again, I'm just talking out of my butt right now, but there's similarities between the two PPs. And so you're like, oh, we can work on the PK tomorrow because both PPs are the same, again, I would have to look at this. I'm just throwing ideas,
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously they'll get some good practices and get some good rest. And then, but those coaches will be working a lot of hours to get the team ready and then to do all the prep work now until you can actually start narrow it down and, to that one team. And then you have that day of preparation or two and, get going. But you can
touch
on
stuff.
As
soon as they get an opponent, that there's a video package.
That's what I mean. That's ready to go.
Roll.
Yeah. Well, Brett and those guys are going to be
definitely
hard to get it ready. Yeah. It kind of stinks sometimes because you have to kind of prepare a little bit for two teams, but it's not the end of the world and, keeps them sharp and keeps them ready. So,
yeah. All right. On that note, we are, of course, brought to you by the fantastic people who've been with us for quite a while now. Circle K and the Inner Circle Rewards. You can use that QR code on screen to download the app today. Go in to Circle K, get the Inner Circle Rewards. That includes 25 cents off a gallon on your first five fill-ups. You can also get a bunch of amazing game day snack deals, including up to 5 free Polar Pops. So go get with Circle K today. Make sure you get those Inner Circle Rewards. You can also go to CircleK.com/innercircle to get in with Circle K and all of the amazing snack deals that they have on any given day. It's not even game day necessarily, right? You can do it whenever you want. Use that QR code, get your Inner Circle rewards today, and then make sure you're heading on over to Game Time. At absolute minimum, the Avs will get two home games in round two. Get those tickets through Game Time right now. When you sign up with code DNVR, you get $20 off your first purchase. Game Time has a bunch of amazing ways to save money on tickets. You can go get with them on the section selector. It saves you 18% on average. You can get last minute ticket deals, and you can even get tickets to things like concerts and theaters. So go check it out with Game Time. They guarantee you'll get the best price. And if you find tickets cheaper somewhere else, they'll reimburse you 110% of the ticket price. Take the guesswork out of buying NHL tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create that new account and use code DNVR for $20 off. All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We've talked about a little bit of expectations for Colorado in the third period or in the next series. Would love for the depth scoring to continue. Probably will not at the rate that it has.
Yeah, I mean, 5 goals per game through 5 playoff games.
Doesn't happen very often ever.
Like, you're due for
a regression there for sure.
Especially the number of tip goals that they had.
Yeah. Val had a couple. Miko had one. Lecky had some. Yeah.
You're talking about those are not
sustainable.
Not every game.
Yeah.
Those kind of just come and go.
Yeah.
I mean, do I expect that level? No. You know, is that possible? But I don't know.
I mean, anything's
possible.
I didn't
think they were going to score freaking a gazillion goals in 5 games in round one. You know, so. But do I think they're good? Yes. Do I think that's sustainable? I don't know. Who knows, right? I mean,
yep.
I'd love to. Be awesome. Solves a lot of problems, you know. That makes it fun. So
let me ask you guys this.
Yeah, suplexing Connor Hellebuck out of relevancy after a Vezina caliber season is pretty fun to me.
Look like a minor leaguer. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, sure did. Shout out Micah McCurdy from Hockey Viz. I don't know if you guys saw his tweets about the charts from the series, but he basically said, you know those series where a goalie just plays out of his mind and there's nothing a team can do? This was kind of the inverse of that, where it didn't matter what the Jets did. The Avs offense was just going to score 5 goals.
Yeah.
He was good at times. And
he really was.
Damn it open and it would just go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Well, the team in front of him sucked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean they did not play well. And Rick Bonus
got out coached like crazy. Yeah.
I just don't understand Rick Bonus. I would love to be a fly on the wall of his exit interview where it's like, tell us what happened. Tell us what you think happened in this series in which you made no meaningful adjustments until the 5th game. And then when you actually did, you reverted to them after
chips were down, you gave up on them.
Exactly. You bailed on them in the third period of a game because you just didn't trust it. And they had given you your best process play to that point. He trusted the eye test. You want to talk about the eye test and the value of it at times? That's an NHL coach that trusted his eye test and got his shit rocked.
Yep. It was bad.
Not even just saying he needed to be an analytics nerd or anything about it, but just pay some attention, fella.
Obviously see the team that's getting owned out there.
Right. They mixed it up. They put some different combinations together. And they played really, really well through 40 minutes, reverted back to previous games combinations, and the Avs sprinted away from them in the third period.
Yep.
It was a joke.
Yep.
To me, it's an embarrassing coaching performance.
A fireable offense, in my opinion.
Absolutely. But fireable. And I told Dimitri this morning. I said he should be unhirable. If you're a coach looking, or if you're an organization looking to hire a coach that can do more than just change a culture or something, because he did do that in Winnipeg, which was valuable. They needed a little bit of stability after a really negative Paul Maurice exit.
Yeah.
But in terms of trying to get him through a playoff series, Jesus. It was so bad. 2 years in a row, they've had embarrassing playoff exits with him at the helm. too many good coaches unemployed right now to keep running it back with a guy that just had that kind of performance.
Yep. No, I think there'll be a change there. Yep.
On the Avs side, though, you're looking at this six-day break, five-day, maybe it's nine-day if the series goes seven. You're looking at that series. Forget whoever they play. The Colorado Avalanche themselves. What's the number one thing this team needs to work on?
PK, brother. PK.
Which was so good. It's amazing when you lose it, then you lose it. You know what I mean? Like, they freaking really lost it down the stretch in this round.
Yep.
It was very subpar. I mean, whatever, right?
It was good enough because their power play was unreal phenomenal. Good in this yeah. series. But yeah. All right.
Work so on it.
They can special work on teams it. Work but on, have, in practice.
But they have a good PP to work against in practice.
That's true.
And they work hard all the time because they yeah. do. The PKs make it, PK guys make it tough on the, because they want to make it realistic, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Not very meaningful work otherwise.
Yeah.
True enough. All right. Special teams then.
Yep.
You're looking at that PK side of it.
Special players.
Oh my God. Stop. when you look at that, we've talked about some of the usages before. Oh my God. Can they do that on their penalty kill?
Yeah.
Are they going to start calling?
Spread your wings.
Start calling plays off the face off.
I swear. They get Yakov trending in the face-off circle, and he just shouts, Tuesday, Tuesday.
I bet he wins that face-off.
I'm buying his jersey.
Are there any rules against, like, talking when you're taking a face-off?
Oh, no, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, so just
start. You mean that you think Nazem Kadri used to take face-offs quietly?
Well, he used to not take face-offs because he'd get kicked out every time.
Why do you think he got kicked out? It wasn't that he was cheating the line, as he wouldn't shut up.
I'm just saying, if someone skated up to the face-off dot, put a stick down, and just goes, check 50, check 50, I'd lose my mind.
Talk about, like... One goal game, late in the third period, defensive zone
you
face-off.
You need one.
Talk about disarming your opponent, just pulling that out of the bag. Better than Brad Marchand licking a guy. Duh, like, fuck. Just you'd be like, what is happening right now?
I mean, I got kids, but, you know, it's funny to see those bits on, when you know, people are going like, hey, what's up, brother? And then guys are looking at the guy like, what do you want from me?
The, like,
you
know what 20% mean? Like, yeah. of the team knows what's going on. And, the other
and then there's,
like,
there's another, like, and they're like, oh, yeah, Tuesday, whatever. And then you got the odd guy, like you said, 2 out of 20, looking at the guy like, what? I got kids, man, so I get that. I get it.
If it was what?
Oh, yeah, McKinnon showing personality on the ice other than just being angry at everything. Be so funny.
Omaha, that was funny, man. It was Manning, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was
Manning.
That was hilarious. Like, everybody was calling Omaha. You
now know, that's what their production company is called.
Yeah.
Yep. Looking at the Avs penalty kill, just is it purely systems work there, or would you consider any personnel changes? And honestly, this goes back to the regular season for me. Cogliano hasn't been any good on the penalty kill for a while now.
Yeah. It's funny because he had that one desperation block and clear.
Yeah.
And it was entirely a result of his own
mistake.
Failed
yeah,
clear.
Right.
Where it was like, yeah, but what about that play? You're like, it started with him. Yeah, I would consider some personnel changes, but they won't. So
what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who cares?
Fair enough.
I think it just comes and goes. You get hot. It's like a goal scorer. You're streaky. I truly believe in that. A lot of those goals were like shots from the outside, right? The point. Remember, like, you know.
You're bleeding perfectly into my next question. How do you fix that? You watch multiple power play goals from Josh Morrissey go in from range. Is it move the guy in front that's screening, or is it cover the point better?
Makes me real nervous about both Miro Heiskanen and Shea Theodore and Alex Pietrangelo just bombs away from out there. Oh, God.
I think it's a little bit of both. You got to be more in the shooting lanes. You got to be more in tying up sticks up front, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think on the flip side of things, the Avs did unbelievable against Hellebuck, right? Taking his eyes away.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, there was a stat out there.
Between
like, shots
Nichushkin
and
Lekkinen,
yeah,
it was
nuts.
Ridiculous.
Like, it was
yeah.
ridiculous. So, I mean, on the PK, it's all about, I always say it's all about pistons, right? It's just stops and starts. Yeah. There's no turn. Because that half a second that you're turning instead of stopping, that puck gets through, you know, it's all about sacrificing. It sucks, but
it is.
But most
the area
times,
where Cogs is great.
Yeah, and most times, if you're in the right lane, guy won't shoot.
Yeah.
Because who wants to shoot in the paths of the, you know, we all get mad when they say, God, what are you doing? Right? You know what I mean?
Like, got to get it past the first
that's
guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially in the postseason.
McCarr's the best at it. You know?
Just ask Ryan Graves.
I was going to say, this is the Ryan Graves haunting memory.
Maybe different in the, or you know, I don't know. Sometimes it's like being better in the neutral zone so they don't get to set up so easily in your own end. And be better at faceoffs. Like win the freaking draw so you're freaking killing 30, 20 seconds, whatever it is. Makes a difference.
We're talking about personnel changes. Mm-hmm. You're accidentally touching on a point that actually I've been keeping an eye on in the series. Try Casey Mittelstadt, please.
I got no problem.
Try Casey Mittelstadt on
smart
the PK.
Player.
Like he's a smart player. He's really good with the stick, and he's been winning defensive zone draws. Bednar's been using him more and more as the series has gone in. As that series went on in defensive zone situations, and he was doing okay in those spots. Use him in those spots more. Put him on the PK. Yakov training, Casey Mittelstadt, that gives you face-off guys. Instead of just conceding.
Just losing face-offs.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of just conceding the face-off with the 30% chance that Andrew Cogliano might get lucky with it. You know, like, put those guys out there that might actually help you. I want to try that. You didn't do this at the deadline for real. You didn't go and get a guy that this is our ace. Yeah. This is what he does. So you have to try and find solutions. They tried it earlier in the year with Ross Colton. Did not go very well. I want to see them try Mittelstadt at it.
You got to remember, like, LOC is kind of the leader of the PK guys. And PK guys take pride in their units. Like, they'll take pride in their meetings. Hockey's so different than football, right? Where, you know, they're in the classroom and, you know, offensive guys are in one classroom and, you know, hockey, like, they'll get together for a few minutes and, but they take pride in it. They do. And they take pride in practice because they want to make sure that it's game-like situation for the power play and for yourself. But you get into a rhythm, you get into a, you know, like 20, 30 in a row, you know what I mean? You feel like right before, right after the trade deadline. Remember, it was awesome. Like, you know, like, oh my God, the Avs are on a roll. You get
so
on
much
the
confidence.
Roll. Yes, it is. And then you need saves. That's, again, not Georgiev, anybody in the league, right?
Yeah. So it's, I'm you sure need saves. The Jets saves. Would have loved some power play saves.
Go back to the Avs, yeah. Like, Hellebuyck struggled from the freaking shots from the outside. And then you got Cale Makar, the best in the world. And then you got the horse in front of you and Natushkin. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, somewhere, somehow, like, you got to give the Avs credit. But, yeah, you just got to bear down. And for me, PK comes down to if you have a motor and you work harder than the freaking PP, then you got a chance. Well,
and here's the thing for me with Mittelstadt on that opportunity. The reality we live in is the Avs PP1 is going to play a minute 50 of every power.
Exactly. So you aren't worried about PP2.
Right. So give him that special teams time on the PK side.
And like I said to you, it helps your game. I don't care if you're Casey or if you're Duane, Brendan, you know, like
those extra couple minutes. Yeah.
It just freaking helps you. It just does. Brings your heart rate up.
Mittelstadt had such a good series that I'm just like, just
give him a little more.
Feed him ice, man.
Yep.
Give him more ice time and see how he responds.
Everything. He embraced everything. So it's good.
Right attitude, right results.
Yeah.
Huge role for them. I just wanted, I want to see them continue to challenge him.
Yep.
Yeah. I hard agree. Give that guy as much opportunity as you can until he tells you otherwise, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Brandawa.
Oh, sick.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get to our super chats.
Scared the shit out of me.
That was big Wednesday energy on
it
that.
It really was. It really was. 200 check bucks from Daniel, who says, huge kudos for Eric and Rudo for predicting the outcome. We do have that graphic. Should we bring it up? I mean, I picked the Avs to win, but Eric was really the...
Well, it was one off from you. That's it.
You were bang on, buddy.
What I liked about my prediction is I said, hear me out. They're going to lose the first game.
Yeah.
They all have a different goaltender in.
It was, in a way, I forgot about that. Way, it was a different goaltender.
I thought Eustace was coming in. Eustace had the shits, whatever he had. But, you know, Georgiev was a different goaltender. Yeah. So, and then I said they're going to win four straight. And that's where I take pride in. I don't take pride in the number. I take pride in the fact that they won four in a row. You know what I mean? And it's in my prediction, you know. Yep. I really feel good about this team. I do.
He got reverse Monstard.
Yeah.
Just to finish up the super chat, I was definitely on Megan and AJ's skeptic train. Eric even hitting the exact 4-1 outcome. Also, Casey Mittelstadt has amazing on ice vision. Thank you very much for the super chat.
I bought too much into the Jets stock, and I went against all the things that I normally like to pick, which is who has the best players in the series.
Bang.
And
it's the Avs.
They had been so bad, and I was the Avs vibes were down. And
if it makes you feel better, all the other all city beats were all picking Winnipeg as well.
I bit way too hard on all my recency bias, which I usually work really hard to avoid. And, you know,
and now the Avs are in round two.
Yeah, I'm getting most of the first round wrong. So good job, me.
And then $5 from Melanie, who says, great series. Now time to prepare for the next. By the way, I ate illegal pizza for the first time yesterday. It was delicious. Take care.
It's so good.
It's great stuff.
Put queso and everything.
Yeah, Eric and I tried to eat all of that queso from Christmas. The Christmas party.
Went in on it.
Just gone. Yeah, it was like, oh, hey, I've got something in this bowl. There's queso going on top. And it was so good, dude.
All right. I think that just about covers whatever today was.
Yeah, well, we still have two more days of this, it's like, you know.
Well, look, Thursday, we'll probably take a look at the Dallas-Vegas series a little bit for you. I know there won't be a decided opponent yet, but we can have a conversation about what some of those teams look like. Also, we can remove this rat from the...
The cheeseburger stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what's up in our vents right now.
Why is Brad Marchand here? You should be in Toronto.
No wonder they lost game 5.
Tackled by that ref. God, that was so funny. That picture that Tiff showed me of him looking up at the ref like, what did you just do? God, it was good. It was good.
All right, we are going to get out of here for today. Join us tomorrow, 2 p.m. same time. We appreciate y'all, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Y'all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.